Scripture reading this afternoon is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 115. Psalm 115. And this afternoon we want to look at the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." And I think as we read Psalm 115, you'll see that this is a good psalm to read in reference to that commandment. Hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 115, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and even forevermore. Praise the Lord." So far the scripture reading. And as I said, our text is from Exodus 20, verse 3, the first commandment. And let's also read what Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 37. I think we know it, but let me just read it. When Jesus gives a summary of the Ten Commandments, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." We want to also look at the Catechism's teaching on this as we continue with our Catechism series. So why don't you read with me what we find on page 70 in the back of the Psalter, question and answer 94 and 95. We had an introduction to the law when I preached on Psalm 119, verse 96. "I've seen an end of all perfection, but your commandment is exceeding broad." Now we're going to dig into the commandments to see that that's true. So what does God, page 70 in question and answer 94, what does God enjoin or call for in the first commandment? Answer, "That I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints or calling upon saints, or any other creature, and learn rightly to know the only true God. Trust in him alone with humility and patience. Submit to him. Expect all good things from him only. Love, fear, and glorify him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit even the least thing contrary to his will." What is idolatry? Answer, idolatry is instead of or besides that one true God who has manifested himself in his word to contrive or come up with or have any other object in which men place their trust. Imagine Jesus himself preaching on the first commandment here among us and before us. Yes, dear congregation, isn't this a good thought to pursue now as we begin our study of the Ten Commandments? And look today at the first of the ten. How would the Lord Jesus have preached on these words? "You shall have no other gods before me. Literally, you can translate the text from the Hebrew, not, that's the first word in the Hebrew, not shall you have before you other gods before my face. Well, how would the Lord Jesus, do you think, have explained and applied this commandment one? Continuing with our series of the Catechism, we are now in the Thanksgiving section of the Catechism, where we study each of the Ten Commandments to learn more about the life of holy, thankful obedience that God calls from us, and that He promises to lead us in as we ever look to Him and depend on Him. But what now does that actually mean? How do you think Jesus would have preached on this, the first of the Ten Commandments? Well, how can we know, you say? How can we know how Jesus would preach on it? For we don't have a sermon by Him on this law, do we? Don't we, though? Can't we say, really, that Jesus' whole life was a preaching on the first commandment particularly and on all the commandments totally, really? He came to fulfill the law. He perfectly lived the law. His life was a preaching of the law. All that He pursued and all that He was focused on, in all His ways, He was reflecting, promoting, preaching also the first commandment. Considering too the Bible teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism on the first commandment, how do you think Jesus would take this all now and preach on this first commandment? If as well you agree with me, whatever a preacher says, that's what the Savior says too, when it's well. Faithful preachers are only saying what the Savior would say and preach. Again and again, if it's well, it's not so much the preacher's voice you should hear, but the Savior's voice. We are ambassadors, Paul says, as though God did beseech you by us. Hear Jesus then now, preaching on this law of God, dear congregation. You shall have no other gods before me. And notice with me how surely Jesus would preach on this commandment in at least the following ways. Come and listen with me to the preacher of preachers, Jesus Himself, proclaiming to you and me the first commandment. And notice first of all, with what pity Jesus preaches on this commandment. Can you see the Lord Jesus looking over the crowds of people He would minister to? And be so aware of how by nature they were having other gods, idol gods of their own making, besides the one true God, as represented also by Himself, Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, the natural man is so blind and wicked in sin. We turn from the one true God and make for ourselves other gods of our own wicked and foolish imagination. Our hearts are idol-making factories left to themselves. And consider now, will not Jesus the Savior look with pity and compassion on mankind so caught up with and taken up by, again and again, worshipping idol gods? That which is not God, and which never can do us any saving good at all, and no earthly and eternal good either, in any way at all. You know those 400 priests who worshiped Baal? No matter what they did, Baal did nothing for them. And you know big fat Buddha? He can do nothing for anyone. And you know dead Muhammad? He can't do anything for anyone. No. And lifeless Dagon, that stump, you know, in the Philistine temple, is a useless piece of whatever he was made up of. The Lord surely would show pity as He preached on the first commandment. The first commandment begins, as I said, with the word not. In fact, 8 of the 10 commandments begin with the word not. And that being the first word of the Ten Commandments often reminds us of the natural tendency of us sinners by nature. And that is to have many other gods before us, in front of God Himself. And oh, what misery we have brought ourselves into in forsaking the one true God and worshipping and following after that which is not God. All kinds of idols, you name it, whatever kind you want to come up with. I say the Lord is surely grieved seeing mankind so bent on sinning against Him, so lost in sin, so rebellious against Him, also in worshipping other gods, idol gods, besides Him, the one creator and the only provider of every blessing and the one only redeemer of sinners. We read in Matthew 9 verse 36 that Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Behold, Jesus looked with pity on the wayward, perverse people, again and again choosing for gods idols which never could help them, and turning from the one true God who was out for their real help and even in their very midst. Can you not imagine Jesus preaching on this first commandment with so much pity? Pity for these hearers. Not shall you have before you other gods before my face. No, for serving all other gods that are no gods, that never gets you anywhere, but only gets you in trouble and dismay and more trouble and disappointment in all your ways. The Lord Jehovah God says in Deuteronomy 4 verse 39, in the face of the heathen idol gods of the Israelites, which the Israelites were coming into contact with, know therefore this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Shouldn't we too, beloved, as confessing Christians, pity those who today worship all kinds of idols, sports stars, music stars, as idols, as the be-all and end-all of everything, or those who worship money, or the love of money, or fame, or some cheap man-made image. I told you before, in our neighborhood, somebody has a big statue of Buddha, just a few houses down from us. Or people worship some expensive statue in one or more remote temple in this world. What sadness and how low man has fallen, that they turn from the one true and living God to worship as God what is lifeless and useless and hopeless and helpless to us. The Bible tells us in Mark 10 verse 21, Jesus looked with love, that is, He looked with compassionate pity upon that man who so loved and worshipped his riches more than God. And He did not want to give them up for God, having his riches as another God before the one true God. How could He, and how can you and I, be so foolish to worship someone or something other than God, the one true God? Idolatry is, explains the Catechism, instead of or besides the one true God who has manifested Himself in His Word, to contrive or to come up with any other object in which we place our trust. In preaching here on the first commandment, would Jesus also look upon you and speak to you with so much pity? Pity for so great folly in your and my life, even now, beloved, could it be? Shall not His pity alone convict you and me of our sin and move you and me to flee all idolatry and to worship God alone as revealed in the Bible? To worship anyone or anything but the Lord God of Scripture, the Triune God, as made known in Jesus Christ, is only always utter foolishness as well as great wickedness. But let's move on. For surely Jesus would not only preach on this first commandment with so much pity, but also with so much purpose. So much purpose. Would you not agree? Jesus' holy purpose surely would be that we might turn from sin and all idolatry in any way, shape or form and worship Him alone. And above all, the Westminster, as well as the shorter Catechism, has as its opening question, what is the chief and highest end of man? And it gives a Bible-based answer. Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. Well, surely that teaching would be Jesus' purpose too, you see, don't you think? In preaching on the first commandment. The purpose of the gospel preaching, also the gospel preaching with God's law, is to call sinners from darkness into God's marvelous light and to lead His people more and more from sin into grace and truth and godliness. Jesus knows above all, above anyone, what is best for us is wholly to follow Him and to love Him with all our heart, yes, with all our soul and mind and strength. And the worst for us is not to do so. Therefore, surely His purpose in preaching also on this first commandment would be to make this unmistakably plain. How many sermons from the Lord through His servants we have heard, have we not? Making it so plain to us time and again. To live apart from God is death. But 'tis good His face to seek. It's good to have no other gods before Him. Have you thought about it lately? What a loving kindness towards us God displays when granting us time and again to sit under the preaching and teaching of His holy word and will. You won't and don't despise Jesus' purpose for preaching from week to week, do you? One day we will have to give an account also of sitting under this sermon this afternoon. You shall have no other gods before Me. Oh, hear Jesus preach not just with so much pity, but so much purpose, this commandment. Also this first commandment. Every sin really comes down, you know, to this. Forgetting this good law of God. And it results always, if we continue in worshipping other gods, it results in misery and trouble of all kinds. Never mind our guilt and rebellion before the one true God. In the very last verse of 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, God's word reads, and it is addressed especially also to all believers. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. The Lord gives this commandment with purpose. Purpose true, to have us free from idolatry and ever only wholly to cling to Him and to worship Him as one only true God over all. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 and 14, Paul writes with divine inspiration and Christ-like purpose, you could say, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will also with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And then the next lines are very striking. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from all idolatry. Jesus surely would preach on the first commandment with purpose to convict us and turn us from worshipping and serving false gods that only will lead us so far astray and bring us no good whatsoever. In that light, consider further with me how pointed Jesus would be, surely pointed, in His preaching, particularly now also on the first commandment. Don't think you are off the hook with this commandment just because you have no actual idol statues in your home or on your front yard. You won't find the Buddha on our property, no. That doesn't mean there may not be idol gods that we can have in our home too. That we may be paying sacrifice to somehow, some way. The Lord is pointed with this command, searching us in our innermost heart and in all our ways, whether there's anything or anyone we won't give up in submission to Him and His word and will. Isn't it true? You and I can so easily make an idol of almost anything. Or anyone. But the Lord with His first commandment calls us wholeheartedly to seek and serve Him with no exceptions or reservations in any way. Jesus calls us to love the one true God, with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, our whole being, and to leave no place of devotion over and above Him for anyone or anything at all. Searching your heart and mind now, are there any idol gods you may be hiding in your life? Refusing to give up somehow, some way? It's good to ask that question. Here the Catechism's explanation is very convicting too, don't you find? To the question, what does God enjoin or really call for in the first commandment? The sweeping Bible answer is that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, from sorcery, from soothsaying, superstition, calling upon saints or any other creatures for refuge, and learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in Him alone with humility and patience, also submit to Him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Wow. That's serious. That's taking the worship of God very seriously. Wouldn't you say? Are you and I into such serious religion, such wholehearted worship of God and relationship with Him, that you are always dead in earnest not to commit even the least thing contrary to His will? Are you hoping and praying, as confessing Christian this week, not to commit even the least thing contrary to His will? Not in thought, word, or deed. You know, don't you, whatever least sin you or I excuse somehow, some way, that's really an idol of your heart or mine that we place then before God and, as it were, shove before His face as our idol God before Him. Oh, I say the Lord Jesus is very pointed in speaking on the Ten Commandments, and nothing less than absolute, perfect, wholehearted devotion to Him is what He calls for and what He justly demands from us. Do you accept that, dear congregation? And does it lead you to repentance and sorrow for sin? That time and again, we do set up idols before Him. Or would you say, you never do? No, not you. The first commandment, you say, you have under your belt. No problem. Some of the others, maybe they're a problem for you, but not the first commandment. Oh, I dare say, yes, wouldn't Jesus say, in fact, insofar as any of the other commandments may still be a problem to you, the real issue is you have still too many idols in your life. In a real way, idolatry is not only the ultimate sin, but it's also at the root of all other sin. Not a single one of us is not an idolater by nature. And even when saved, not a single one of us is not plagued with our idolatrous heart still showing itself in some form or another. Yes, all too often still, alas. Don't you think Holy Jesus preaching on this first commandment would surely convict you and me of this? To be convinced of this even more, notice with me not only with how much pity and purpose and pointedness would be and is Jesus preaching on the law, but also with what penetration, with what a penetrating look He would preach on this first commandment. You may be sure. It's true, isn't it? While we can hide lots from others, also lots of sins, you can't hide anything from the Lord. You know the story in the Bible of Rachel, Jacob's wife, sitting on some idols that she took from Laban, her father's household or tent. She hid them well. Laban couldn't find them. Jacob didn't even know about them either. But God knew about them. You can't hide. You can't hide sin from God. No way. We can't ever pull the wool over His eyes. We can't ever fool the Lord. Jesus with His holy, piercing look, with His word also, just with His first commandment, will certainly with His eyes uncover whatever idols there may be still deep or not so deep in our heart and life. Imagine Jesus preaching on this first commandment and saying to you, "Not shall you have before you any other gods in front of me." And think of Him then fixing His holy, penetrating gaze upon you, not allowing you to turn your face from Him. Sometimes as moms and dads, we did that. Not only when our children were young, but even when they were older, we would say, "Look at me in the face. Don't turn your face from me. Look at my eyes." And we would look at their eyes. And we would call for truth. A confession of the lie. Or confession of wrongdoing. Think of Christ with His holy, penetrating gaze upon you and upon me, not allowing us to turn our face from Him. What idols would He find still in your life and mine? Some people make an idol of their money. Others of their belly. Or their work. Or their family. Or a certain TV program. Or of a certain sport. Or a certain star of sorts. And or of their home. Or of their hobby. Or their car. Or their truck. Or you name it. Whatever excuses you come up with. Holding on to some habit or to some practice or indulgence which in any way is in contradiction with God's holy good will and law in any respect, then that's an idol which God sees and He calls you to give it up. It's amazing how we can try to wriggle out from giving up our idols. Little idols, we may call them. And we have our excuses. When there is something we ourselves are prone to and that somehow, some way disregards God and excludes Him as number one in our life, then that's a matter of idolatry for you or for me. How easily we can see the other people's idols but excuse our own and wriggle out from our own. But the Lord doesn't let us. "You shall have no other gods before me." As Jesus the Savior preaches now on this first commandment, "No other God shall you have before me." As His law scans your life and mine, which viruses show up? Which vices are exposed? What idolatry must you repent of and turn from? Wholly to serve God in spirit and in truth. Why? Maybe this is more for me. Even email and internet can become an easy idol for us. So that the first thing we do in the mornings and the last thing we do each night is check the email. You won't forget that, but you may forget about a prayer to God as you start the day and as you end it. Could it be? For some people, Tim Hortons is their idol. They get up out of bed, they don't have devotions, but they go to get their coffee. And God is put secondary. It's so easy. We can have idols so quickly. Could it be that you are someone who doesn't like to be told at all how you are to live? And you don't like to be under the Savior's searching eye now. No, your independence, you like that and you want that. And that's become your idol maybe. Your independence. No one should tell you what you have to do. But God made you. He may tell you how you must live. Oh, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We read in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And the next verse begins saying, you know what? "I, the Lord, search the heart." Oh, imagine now the Lord looking upon you with His penetrating, all-knowing eyes. And I ask you, can you still say, will you still say, "Idols you have none, and Him you always serve above all, with all, and in all things"? Won't all God's people confess, rather, "Lord, there's such a tendency to idol worship in my life, left to myself still. Please, please do search me out and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me and keep me, keep leading me in true devotion to you alone. And guide me in the way everlasting with you. And you above all, as my all and all. That's what God's true people want. They want to live by God's law. Yes, God's true people, though they still struggle with idols in their lives, they truly don't want to commit even the least thing contrary to His will, even when they do still sometimes fall into sin. When shown and convicted of their sins, they long to be cleansed from it and freed from it and to be strengthened altogether against it and to live wholly and completely in devotion and honor to their Savior God, whom they love above all. Isn't this how it is with you too? By God's grace. When you are a true Christian, you learn to pray by God's grace with a believer of old saying, "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and to worship only thee." Jesus knows what the longing of my heart is, whether you truly would not be an idolater in any sense at all, or whether as a hypocrite you don't mind and don't see anything wrong with just a little bit of idolatry. Jesus calls His people to be all for Him and to leave no room for any idols whatsoever. All of life should be in subjection to Christ as Savior and Lord. And if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. It's God's holy will for His people. And not just a little bit so sometimes, but completely so all the time. "No other God shall you have before me, for my face," says the Lord. Oh, imagine Jesus preaching on this first commandment. Don't you agree how He would do so surely with pity, much pity, and with much purpose and pointedness and with such penetration, and next also certainly with so much passion. So much passion. Indeed, I can't imagine Jesus preaching on the first commandment with hardly any or little passion. And I say that because not only does Jesus know so well the misery that results when following after other gods, idol gods, that are no gods, but Jesus also would make known, would He not, to us the abundant life and the fullness of life and eternal life that is found for us with the one true God, trusting and following after Him, especially also in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Savior. To follow other gods leads to disappointment and darkness and dismay, and ultimately to eternal misery and agony hereafter. Whereas to worship the one true God, triune as revealed in Christ, and to have no other gods before you but Him, you know what that means? It means having the most glorious and the most blessed Savior God, the God of all comfort and truth and wisdom and peace and joy and love and power with you and for you in life, in death, for body and soul, now and forever. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. God come in the flesh, who most lovingly and completely gave Himself to deliver sinners like us. Given by the Father for this purpose and made known by the Holy Spirit for this purpose, to be the Savior, to deliver us from the greatest of evils and to bring us into the greatest of blessings for now and forevermore. You see, the Christian religion calls us to have the one only true God whom we worship and to have no other God, because that one true God, as revealed in Christ, is not only due all worship, but He is so worthy of all worship. The first holy commandment, instructing us to have no other gods before Him, is given by God as a positive command. It's not a negative rule. The devil tells the world, tells us by nature, the commandments are negative and restrictive. It's not so. God's commandments are not grievous, John writes. No, but following God's commands, the first most clearly too, that makes our lives so enriched and blessed, really. While holding on to other gods, idol gods, useless, dead, idol gods, that not only so dishonors the true God, But it really robs us. It robs us of life and vitality and hope. You know, Jesus of all preachers ever, he would surely preach most passionately in connection with the first commandment. Just like a parent would prevent the child from touching a hot stove, saying no to, no, don't do that. So Jesus calls out to us with first time conversion in, to him and lifetime devotion to him. Not shall you have any other gods before my face. No, let Israel trust in God alone, the Lord whose grace and power are known. To him your full allegiance yield, and he will be your help and shield. All those who fear him, God will bless. His saints have proved his faithfulness. That's 308, stanza 3, which we sang, based on Psalm 115, which we read. Jesus is so passionate, and so must we be preaching on this first commandment, not only because all idol worship and false religion results in nothing good, but everything bad, but also because all true and exclusive worship and devotion of God, as revealed in Christ, and as made known in the Scriptures, results in everything good and nothing bad, really. Yes, this is the gospel truth. Christians come to acknowledge God's law is good. It's good. It's a perfect reflection of God Himself. Is there anyone here who still refuses to believe this gospel truth, also with the first commandment? That God, it means it for our good when He says, you shall have no other gods before me. Will not this message also be a real encouragement to you who love the Lord and desire wholly to live for Him, to indeed do so and keep on doing so more and more by His grace and Spirit, looking to Him indeed to be able to do so and to grow in doing so. Oh, may God bless so also this sermon. This also leads me to another wonderful truth about Jesus preaching, also His preaching on the first commandment, surely. Won't His preaching certainly also be with power? Oh yes, Jesus' word will not return to Him empty. But through His word, sinners will be saved and His people sanctified, most definitely. Through the foolishness of preaching, Almighty God is pleased to work effectually for our salvation and sanctification unto our glorification. And the Lord grants what He commands. As He preaches the law to us, He does it as the God who says, I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the God of salvation. You shall have no other gods before me. Would you come under His almighty saving power with the word preached? Ask Him to come with sweeping, cleansing, and renewing saving power also in your sinful life and against those idols that keep plaguing you. And call upon Him day by day and see, I guarantee you, great and gracious things will happen that even others will notice. People will say, something has changed about you. What is it that? They will say, you are all for God now, somehow. Not out of a sense of duty either, but clearly in the way of glad obedience and joyful devotion. How wonderful, dear congregation, and how in promotion of our Christian witness it is. When people notice this about you and me and say, if not to you, yet about you, clearly, you want to be all for God. God of the Bible, don't you? In your relationships and with others, in your pursuits in life, in your responsibilities in life, in your free time and at night time as well as daytime, in private as well as in public, on Saturday as well as on Sunday and Monday, you come across as always wanting to follow Christ as your Savior and Lord and to do His will as given in the whole Bible with no exception. You come across as someone who just delights in God. And who wants to have no other gods before Him. Why is that? Ah, you can answer then. Because, my friend, nothing could be more wonderful and blessed and fulfilling and meaningful and enriching than seeking and serving the Lord and loving Him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. We were made for this. We were made for God to live for His praise and to enjoy Him forever above all and in all. And while sin has spoiled that all, through Jesus my Savior and His gospel word and spirit, I may learn it again, slowly but surely. And I can't wait till I'm totally all for God, with no more idols ever in my life, never a second ever, nor in anything at all, but that I be all for Him, completely, forever and ever. That's the Christian's desire and the Christian's witness. And that prospect leads me up to my last point about Jesus preaching on this first commandment. Don't you think, dear congregation belonging to Christ, Jesus surely would preach on this commandment, not only with so much pity and purpose and pointedness and penetration and passion and power, but also with so much promise. The Savior calls us wholly to live for Him and after Him. With the promise, yes, with the promise that we may receive out of His fullness, grace for grace, also to live by this commandment. And He calls us, doesn't He, ever to depend on Him with the promise He will enable us truly and more to live to His praise. And He will prepare us for glory. He will equip us also to be bright lights in this world to His praise while we live life's brief journey in this godless, idolatrous world. And you know what else? He promises to forgive us every time we follow some idol of our own making as we repent and return to Him. The Lord Jesus preaches the law with the promise He as Savior God will never let us down. And how wonderful when we may not only look to the God of promise always, but also tell of Him to our children and in our community and world, where so many are let down all too often by those who promise this and that, only to be disappointed again and again because they follow idolatrous gods of man's making. Jesus would preach on the first commandment with promise, surely. You and I can count on Him as you wholly depend on Him and seek wholly and more to live unto Him and to His praise. Commandment number one, preached by Jesus, made so clear, God is rightly number one. For He is above all, and to Him only, as triune God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all the praise and honor due now and forever. Oh, will you now too, having heard Jesus preaching on the first commandment this afternoon, you shall have no other gods before me. Will you now too so live and follow after Him by God's grace? Not as a matter of bondage, but as a matter of blessing. Or God forbid, will you still hold on to some dear idols of yours and continue on in sin? That leads to destruction. Be sure your sin will find you out if you will keep having other gods besides or alongside the one true God, the only God above all. Even so, dear congregation, come now, each and every one here, come and let us with joyful exultation sing Jehovah's praise to the rock of our salvation. Loud hosannas let us raise. For how great a God and glorious is Jehovah whom we sing. Over idol gods victorious, great is He, our God and King. There's no question about it. Not with Jesus preaching on the first commandment. Wouldn't you agree? Amen.